This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world. And I welcome our listeners on FM in Australia and New Zealand. Bob McKenzie is our correspondent in Ireland, and he is 16 miles south of Dublin in a town called Bray, which I do believe takes less than an hour to get to by car, but if you get drunk in Dublin, it would take about 4 hours to actually walk home. Bob, welcome to the show.
How are you, Henry?
Is it true?
Well, having done the walk myself, I can confirm that yes, it is.
You should have got sponsorship for charity or something for that.
Well, I did that last year when I needed a haircut, Henry.
Oh, yes.
I put up on Facebook that I would raise money for charity with a head shave.
And how'd you go?
I raised €1,000 in 4 days.
That's brilliant. And if you're listening in Australia, that's like $1,800, I think. Well done, you. Lots of sad news going on. You know, two incredibly talented Australian artists, and not just, you know, being popular in Australia, but globally. Liv Newton-John and Judith Durham from The Seekers. They died within 3 days of each other earlier on this week. Judith at the weekend and Olivia on Tuesday, earlier hours of Tuesday. Now, you mentioned to me off air that you're a big fan of both of these singers. I wouldn't have picked you to be a fan so much of Olivia Newton-John. That's remiss of me, I'm sure.
Well, you know me, Henry. You know I'm a bit of a what's the word? I'm a bit of a tart when it comes to music. In terms of my musical taste, goes from Doris Day to Ozzy Osbourne and many things in between.
And Bruce in between, of course.
Well, Bruce obviously is just below Elvis in the pecking order. Right. But Olivia was very, very special. I mean, for people of our age as well, Henry, you know, I mean, when we were prepubescent boys, we had the hormone ball that was Grease,
which
was probably the sexiest, well, the second sexiest, I think, that Olivia ever looked when she wore the catsuit. At the end of Greece. Indeed, that was the picture that I posted yesterday, was her in the catsuit with the cigarette and the leather jackets. And I just put up simply ONJ RIP, because there really are, you know, no words when somebody who, I mean, you described her as a global icon. I mean, she was that. She was a fabulous singer across several genres as well. You've got to remember that. She was a big country star early on in career before she did Grease, and then after Grease, of course, because of the fame that came with that, she went on to do many other things. And of course, let's not forget Physical, which was her biggest selling hit record, which gave her a huge number one in America. But if you remember, the video was very controversial because it finished with two gay men holding hands going through a door, and people forget that she was such an advocate for gay rights and for the LGBTQ plus community.
Before it was known as the LGBTQ plus community. And I just want to mention with Grease in 1978, I've always wondered if it really was the number one hit of the year. And I found out today that it was, Bob.
Well, of course. I mean, there were two massive songs from that album that both, I think, did 8-10 weeks at number one in the UK. Both were number one in America, Australia, all over the world. And, you know, it took her to another level. I mean, she was famous before she did this. Let's not forget this. She'd already competed in the Eurovision Song Contest for the country of her birth, the UK, because, she was born in the UK.
Yes.
And then moved to Australia when she was a child and grew up in Australia. And, you know, Australia counts her as theirs, and quite rightly too, because, of course, she lived there for so long. The one thing that I would say about Olivia was I was surprised it took them so long to make her a dame. She was only recently made a dame, wasn't she, last year, I think?
I'm not sure, but, I just found out today, I was just talking to my girlfriend about this, I said I had no idea she was a dame, but I think it is a recent event, and I agree with you. Why it takes so long?
Well, I mean, given what she meant to people of Australia And especially with the brave way in which she handled two bouts of cancer, and indeed there was a third that she kept quiet in between those two. Mm. And of course, the Olivia Newton-John Foundation.
Yes, in Melbourne, the Wellness Centre, yes.
Yeah, we'll continue to do wonderful work in her name, you know, in perpetuity, one would hope. But she was the girl next door, you know. That was the appeal of Olivia Newton-John. But I think that people underrated her as an artist. I mean, certainly as a singer, there are few of her era that were in her class as a singer. I think that's fair to say, because she could literally sing anything. You could give Olivia the phone book and she'd
sing it. Yeah.
And she sung it, you know?
Yeah. And she was tough. You know, Bob, she was tough. You know, a lot of people don't realise that she really was tough. I mean, it's a tough industry, as you know, the whole industry of music. But behind the scenes, behind that beautiful face and that incredibly beautiful voice, was a tough businesswoman. And she really, you know, cracking America, of course, is really what she did with the movie Grease with John Travolta. But it's not easy sailing, you know, doing this kind of work. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And of course, let's not forget, she also did the completely bonkers Xanadu.
Yes, which failed miserably, by the way.
Gene Kelly's last ever movie.
That's right.
And, you know, Gene must have been in his 70s then. And there he is roller skating.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt you, Bob, but she did mention in an interviewer here in Australia when, you know, before she died, obviously, she was doing an interview on Channel 10, and she basically said, they asked about Xanadu, and she said, oh, well, what can you do? Because it failed pretty badly. But I loved it. I thought it was great. And, of course,
that's the thing about Xanadu, right? Mm. It was a massive box office flop. Mm. But it became a cult movie.
Exactly.
And let's not forget as well, the soundtrack sold by the bucket load, if you remember. Mm. I mean, even the theme song.
Xanadu,
the theme song. Mm. Xanadu, now that we're here.
Catchy stuff.
One of those things, you know. But yeah, she also, of course, made a quite a famous Christmas movie, I believe, that Australians love. Which I've never seen, but it was in the obituaries yesterday, in the papers, that she made this Christmas movie that was quite popular in Australia. So, you know, she was a jack of all trades, and she mastered more of them than most, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. And she was a good friend of a number of people, obviously, you know, her co-star in Grease, John Travolta, and also an English singer, Cliff Richard. They were really good mates.
Yeah, she was very good friends with Cliff, and of course there's always been a lot of white noise around Cliff.
Of course.
About his sexuality.
Yes.
Which is the man's business. He's never officially come out. He's never said that he is not heterosexual, that he is homosexual. We all know that he has been in a relationship with a man for 25, 30 years. But that's the man's business.
Yeah, I agree.
Having friends like Olivia Newton-John would have been great, because she struck me as a very empathic person in terms of I think she was the sort of person who listened very well. And I think that was why she was so loved, I think, by the public as well, because she would take the time to talk to the public. If she was accosted in the street, she would stay and she would talk to people. And she wasn't one of those superstars who needed, you know, loads of bodyguards around her when she did public appearances. She was very casual and very down low. I mean, you talk about Travolta. I mean, that was the movie that really made him. I mean, and Night Fever the year before were the two movies that made him an absolute superstar. And I was looking last night at a bit of footage. They did a concert, I think, in Australia for 40 years of Grease. And they all turned up and got up on stage and they did Summer Nights together. And she actually led them in that, and she still had that voice. This was only a couple of years ago, and she still had that voice. Whereas John Travolta's, you know, John Travolta was never a singer. Let's be fair, he's a better actor and dancer than he'd ever be a singer. But she, for me, you know, if someone says Olivia Newton-John, I won't think of her as an actress. I will forever think of her as a fantastic singer who did pop, she did rock, she did country, she could do a bit of gospel. So, you know, she was one of those artists who really, you know, you didn't know what she was going to come up with next, you know? And I mean, that's the mark of a great artist as well, Henry.
Yes. Sorry, you mentioned earlier on that she started off as a country singer, which is interesting. And then she did the Eurovision. And just to mention the Eurovision in 1974, I think the UK came second. She was born in the UK, so she could sing for the UK, not Australia. And ABBA won that.
That's right. ABBA won it with Waterloo, yeah.
Mm. So did they come second, Britain?
The world was never the same thereafter.
No, this is true.
I mean, look at ABBA. I mean, look how popular ABBA are. Like, look at what's happened with this show they're doing now.
Yes.
It's already sold out for ages and ages. And when it goes on tour, it will sell out all over the world. And all it is holograms of ABBA, you know?
Yeah.
And the music. It's quite incredible the way the technology has gone now. And I think, you know, I would have been interested to know what Olivia thought of that.
Yes.
Whether or not she would have liked it very much.
Well, I have a problem with that, actually. And by the way, it's not holograms, it's avatars. I've been corrected on this by Adam Devlin, our music guru. And he's going, no, it's not holograms, it's avatars. And I don't know the difference, and I don't care. But the thing is, Bob, I would not be going to a cinema to watch them, their avatars, at the age that they were back in the 70s. It doesn't work for me at all. What about you?
Oh, no, it wouldn't work for me at all.
I don't understand why they're doing that.
I get outraged, and quite rightly, I think, by the fact that Queen is still going with Adam Lambert.
Yes, good point.
Over $100 to go and see a band where half the band are dead. And, of course, the charismatic lead singer has been dead for a long, long time, and this guy isn't in his league. He's not even in the same planet as Freddie Mercury. So, you know, I don't agree with that at all. You know, it's when you lose the focal point of a band, you should pack it in, really.
Yeah, you should, I guess, leave gracefully, wouldn't you say?
Well, you know, some leave gracefully, some leave in a body bag. You know how rock and roll works, Henry.
Yes, it's a tough business, eh? You know, her legacy, Olivia Newton-John, she died at 73, in case you didn't know. We talked briefly about her wellness centre just for 2 minutes before we talk about Judith. This wellness centre is in Melbourne. She raised funds by getting big stars, a lot of them Australian, including Johnny Farman, who is not big in Britain, but he's big in Australia. And they walked the China Wall, or a bit of the China Wall. You couldn't walk at all. You know, she just did that to raise money for this wellness centre in Melbourne, which uses natural therapies for cancer. And she eventually, you know, as you mentioned earlier on, she had three sessions of cancer before she died. In the early hours of Tuesday morning. And she, you know, at the time became a patient in her own place. But she was into natural therapies and also into using marijuana as an aiding tool, Bob.
Yeah, I mean that's something that, as you know, I mean, I am a lifelong marijuana smoker, as you know. And I have always advocated that, you know, it should be available for cancer treatment, and Olivia had campaigned the last few years to try and get that to happen in Australia, because of course what we're seeing across the world is that we are seeing a more tolerant attitude towards cannabis. There are many states in the United States that have now legalized cannabis. You can now buy it legally. Obviously the cannabis that you get off the street is still better quality.
Is that right?
Yeah. Somebody did one of those investigations with the Canadian marijuana market, and they found that the marijuana that you got on the street was far stronger and far better.
But is the marijuana that the government's supplying, is that like, you know, hydroponic?
Probably.
See that, yeah. It's stronger though, isn't it? I don't know enough about this.
Not necessarily, because of course they can engineer it, of course, and make the strain a bit lighter. From Dublin, Ireland, Bob McKenzie on
Bondi Tunes International. If you've just joined us, I'm talking with Bob McKenzie, our Irish correspondent south of Dublin in Ireland. And I'm Henry in Sydney. Judith Durham of the Seekers. Now, she passed away 3 days before Olivia Newton-John. It's been a sad week for the world. Australia as well, obviously. They're both Australian. She was a lead singer. She died at the age of 79, six decades after the formation of the group. It really is quite something, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the Seekers, of course, were one of those groups who came from Australia in the, late 60s, early 70s, along with such, you know, emeritus as the Bee Gees, of course. They would have been they would have come along at the same time as the Gibb brothers.
Well, that's nice, yeah.
Unknown. And of course they would have known, Sandy would have known Barry and the boys, because they would have been contemporaries on the music scene in Australia.
She did know them, and I saw an interview with her, Bob, where she talked about them, and you're absolutely right. And just like Olivia Newton-John was actually born in the UK, so were the Gibb brothers, but they moved to Australia, to Queensland, at a very early age, and then became number one in the charts only in Australia, and thought, let's get the hell out of here and back to the centre of the world of music, which was London.
Well, of course, they are from the Isle of Man originally, I do believe, yeah. Hmm. So... you know, they came from, you know, one of the smallest islands in the UK, and then ended up in the biggest island in what is the British Commonwealth, which is Australia. Mm. And then, of course, they went back to Britain because the whole, you know, groovy London thing was happening at the end of the 60s, early 70s. Mm. And I think that Barry and his brothers and, of course, the Seekers, they saw an opportunity where, you know, this was for them. And, of course, with the Seekers, their music was perfect for that era, because their music was very, it was sort of like folky and yes, poppy at the same time, but there was no sort of, you weren't being lectured at. Their songs were pure pop, but there was that folky element, because she had a very folky voice.
Of course she did, yes. I mean, it was pure folk, and that was the 60s.
Well, that's it, you know. I mean, they were one of those bands who told everybody to folk off. they really, you know, let us put some folk in your evening.
Yes.
Their catchphrase, I think, when they were doing weddings and stuff. But yeah, I mean, again, another beautiful voice, Silence Forever, because of course, you know, to be in a band for that long, it shows. Not just great persistence, I think, but it just shows that the bond between them must have been so strong for them to gig all those years as a band, you know? And, I mean, she obviously was the focal point, the vocal, if you like, of the band. And, you know, when I heard that she was dead the other day, I sort of like thought, I haven't heard of her in a long time. And... you know, it was one of those. Whereas with Olivia, you know, Olivia was only in the news 6-8 months ago, because she was campaigning for something, yes, in Australia, and she was on all the newscasts over that, and she was organising benefit concerts and whatnot. And I mean, she kept going right till the end. And you know, when I heard the news about the girl from the sea, because I just thought, you know, wow, that takes me back. You know, it takes me back to, you know, the 70s. And you know, that type of music with, you know, a guitar and a few tambourines, and away we go.
It was lovely, innocent music in many respects. I'm older than you, and I do remember her music at an earlier age than, or at a later age, I should say, than you. You know, Judith Durham, she sang with the Seekers between 1962, the year I was born actually, and 1968, but then she went solo. And she's done reunion concerts here in Australia. I'm not sure about Europe and North America. And, you know, really, she was one of the first Australia's first successful music exports, knocking the Beatles off the top of the UK charts. I mean, that's something, isn't it?
It is, because, of course, you know, we had this conversation, I think last time I spoke to you, about the Beatles and the Stones. And the fact that the Beatles are held in such, you know, huge esteem, I think it's fair to say.
Yes.
Even though, you know, they broke up in 1970. And yet still, all these years later, they're still called the greatest band of all time. And, you know, as I said, I think, you know, the Stones probably have more of a shout because they've kept going for those 60 years that the Beatles haven't. And, you know, the Beatles, those four lads, you know, forever they will be held up as, you know, the greatest band that ever lived. Rightly, maybe, or not rightly. You know, I mean, again, it's a matter of opinion. But to knock them off the top of the charts is an achievement for anybody, let alone a young girl from Australia, you know, trying to make her way in what, as you say, is a very, very cutthroat business, Henry.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, both herself and Olivia were entering America at a time when you had a lot of competition to break the... even ABBA didn't break America in the 70s. They never really did. I think they had one or two hits that got into the top 40 or something. But that was nothing like they were, you know, in Europe and here in Australia, which, of course, ABBA really... got their place in the world through Australia, believe it or not. Australia went nuts for ABBA. But these girls, you know, Judith and Olivia, they're entering a multi-billion dollar music market, even for the time. And they were very, I was going to say lucky, but you really had to be damn good, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, the words that are coming out over these last couple of days about both of them as artists, says a lot as regards the lives that they lived, and you know, Olivia in particular. You know, when I saw the news yesterday, I was actually watching a cricket match when I saw the news yesterday, and my first thought immediately was, taken too soon, because we had heard that she may have been unwell a few weeks ago. There was a rumor doing the rounds that the cancer may well have come back. Now, obviously, the family have not released the details of how and why she died. I'm assuming that will come in due course, obviously, because of law. But, you know, her husband was the man who issued the statement yesterday and asked for privacy for the family, and that's quite right. But, you know, when it is somebody... I mean, there are certain artists that, you know, you are going to get upset when they go. I mean, you know, when Prince died, I was absolutely devastated. Yeah. When David Bowie died, huge thing for me, because David was so special, as, of course, was Prince Rogers Nelson, another absolute icon. And, of course, Michael Jackson, that was a huge shock.
Yes.
Whether you were a fan of the alleged paedophile or not, it was still a shock because he was so young. And the same thing with Prince. Whereas David Bowie had lived his life and he'd got to sort of 70. And I mean, David was, you know, one of the great musical icons because he was so different and he did his own thing. The same as Prince. Both of those were comedians within, you know, the rock music world, constantly changing their style, constantly changing their sound. Whereas, you know, Olivia Newton-John had a style that it never really changed. It just got classier as she got older, if you know what I mean.
It's a very good point. She
always had this niceness about her. Mm. And she always had this megawatt smile that, you know, would melt your heart. And I think that the way that she was, as much as who she was as a performer, is the reason why she is so loved, particularly in Australia. more than anywhere else because of the fact that, you know, she was the person that she was. She was an Aussie. Her attitudes were very Aussie. Let's get this done. She never gave up. She kept going through, as we say, three bouts of cancer in 20 years. And she just got on with it and tried to make it better for other people, not necessarily for herself. And I think that's a great tribute to Olivia Newton-John, more probably than all of her music. You know, what she did outside of music with the Olivia Newton-John Wellness Centre there in Melbourne and the work that she did daily, I think it's fair to say, for the gay community. I mean, she was one of the first female stars to be embraced by the gay community and to love being embraced by the gay community. Mm. I mean, Kylie Minogue, another great Aussie, is another who is adored by the gay community. Cher, the American singer, of course, adored by the gay community. Diana Ross, adored by the gay community. So, you know, the gay community tend to like divas.
I was, but, you know, I just mentioned that, Bubba, a diva, the word diva.
Sorry. Was never a diva. She was a dame, but she was never a diva. Whereas the rest of them, I think, have had their moments of being a diva. Even Kylie has done the whole diva bit.
Yeah.
Lovely and awesome as Kylie is. We love Kylie.
We do. Except for Rachel Brunson. She hates Kylie.
She's showing pictures now, actually, of Greece on the television, on BBC News, because they're talking about Olivia and her passing this morning.
Now, just before we go, we've got to go in 2 minutes, but I just want to mention that someone has mentioned on social media, in fact on television, that, you know, Olivia Newton-John passed away at the age of 73. And, you know, if this was the 1970s, people, men or women, dying at the age of 73 would be seen as normal. But it's not anymore because people are living so much longer. And someone said she died really very young. Would you agree with that? I actually agree with that myself.
Yeah, I mean, I saw an interesting story yesterday about a woman who's 103 and she plays the matriarch on The Archers.
Oh, yes, The Archers.
At 103. The Archers, for our listeners, is a 70-year-long radio soap opera that runs on BBC Radio 4 twice a day at lunchtime and tea time.
It's still going. My goodness.
It is still going, yes. Mm. And the Jenny Stanley, I think, is her name, and she retired this week at the age of 103.
Oh, my God.
70 years.
That's amazing. Okay, Bob, we gotta go. Thank you so much for coming on this show on our broadcast at such short notice, because I know it was 9 a.m. when I said to you, can you come on the air? Bob, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you for joining me.
No problem at all, Henry.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.